Brothers and sisters, peace to you all.
今天分享的题目是恩典胜过羞耻。
My subject today is grace overcomes shame.
我们今天分享的经文呢是约翰福音八章的一到十一节。
And the scripture comes from John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11.
一开始呢，我来问大家两个问题。
First, I want to ask you two questions.
你犯过错误吗？
Have you ever made a mistake?
当你犯了错误之后，你会有羞耻的感觉，会有负罪的感觉吗？
When you make mistakes, do you feel shame or indebted?
当你有这样负面的感觉的时候，你希望别人如何来对待你？
When you have such negative feelings, how would you like others to treat you?
你希望别人责备你、羞辱你吗？
Do you want people to blame you and shame you?
还是希望别人用恩典来鼓励你？来挽回你。
Or you want someone to encourage and win you back by their grace.
在中国大陆的网络上的最近几年，有一个新的词汇叫做网暴。
And in China, recent years, there is a special term called the bully on the web.
对，它是网络暴力的简称。
It's a violence on the website.
本来是一个名词呢，现在都变成一个动词了，说某个人被网暴了。
It was used as a noun, but now it was used as a verb, that someone is bullied on the internet.
前不久呢，在中国的武汉市发生了一个很悲惨的事情。
Not so long ago, there's something very miserable happened in the city of Wuhan.
有一个小学生在操场上，他蹲下来系鞋带。
A young school child stooped down to tie his shoelace.
但是不知道为什么，有一个学校的老师开着汽车从那里碾过他。把这孩子碾死了。
And we don't know why there was a school teacher who just driving the car and ran over this child.
这件事情呢，引起了全国的人民的注意。
And then everyone in the country paid attention to that incident.
但是有成千上万的人呢，去责备、羞辱他的母亲，这个孩子的母亲。
And thousands of people started to blame the child's mother.
为什么呢？一开始他们发现这个孩子的母亲赶到现场的时候，居然是打扮得很漂亮，穿得非常的这个正式，是化了妆的。
Because they found out when the mother arrived at the accident site, she was dressed up well and she had very nice cosmetic on her face.
大家责备她，你这时候不应该是痛哭流涕，应该是蓬头垢面的吗？
People blame her because they say, why you shouldn't be dressed like that. You shouldn't be this be the time when you're sad and you're weeping over your child.
但事实上呢，这个孩子的母亲是一个房产经纪人，她是从工作的场合来到这里的。
But actually, this lady was a real estate agent, and she got there from her work.
第二天呢，这个母亲就带着一个横幅到了学校门口去讨这个说法。
And so the second day, the mother brought a banner and wanted get something back.
这个照片流到网上以后呢，大家又是去批评她。
And then when this picture showed up on the internet, everybody began to blame her again.
因为大家发现她前一天跟第二天居然穿了两双不同的香奈儿牌子的鞋子。
Because they found that the day before and then the day after she wore two Chanel shoes, a pair of shoes.
她在现场有记者采访她的时候呢。
And when the news report interviewed her on the site.
大家看视频发现她居然是那样的冷静，说话那样有条理。
And they found that she was so calm and she was very logical.
这时候她不应该是疯狂的这个哭诉吗？
Shouldn't she be crying and weeping and then accusing wildly?
大家责备她说这个小孩子她就根本没有感情。
So they blame her saying that she had no feeling for her child.
后来这个事情呢，过了几天，渐渐的尘埃落定。
And a few days later, all the details came up.
这个母亲呢，就把她社交媒体的账号里面所有小孩子的照片，还有这个事件的这些，照片、视频全部都删掉了。
And the mother deleted all the pictures for the child.
结果成千上万的人又来批评她，说我早知道她就是为了要去得到赔偿，现在赔偿拿到了，她就把这个小孩子忘掉。
And everybody blamed her again, say that all she wanted is to get some payback for the accident, and then she's going to forget the child.
后来这位母亲呢实在受不了，她从24层楼跳下来自杀了。
And the mother couldn't bear it anymore, she jumped from the 24th floor and committed suicide.
我们很多时候呢是 会用众人的力量去羞辱一个人，最后把他逼到一个很绝望的地步。
And many times we use the public opinion to force somebody to a place where they couldn't survive.
我读新约圣经的时候
，And when I read the New Testament,
我发现几乎这每一天反对耶稣基督的人是什么样的人
？I find that every day there are so many people against Jesus.
那些这个反对他、羞辱他。甚至是要陷害他，最后把他钉在十字架上的人。
Those people who are opposing him, humiliating him, and finally he put him on the cross.
不是无神论者。
They were not atheists.
不是佛教徒。
They were not Buddhists.
不是道教徒。
They were not Taoists.
也不是印度教徒。
And they were not Indian Hindu believers.
而是信耶和华神的。
But people who believe in Jehovah.
这个。给人的外表上感觉是很属灵的这样的人。
And on the outward appearance, they seem to be very spiritual.
这些人典型代表的就是法利赛人。
And typically, they are called the Pharisees.
他们总是站在一个好像道德的制高点去批评别人。
They always stand at the vantage point to accuse other people.
我们这个世界上呢，社会上有很多这样社交媒体上的道德警察。
So in our society, there are many such moral policemen on the internet.
好像每个人只是说了一句话。
Just like if someone said something.
但是成千上万的人给人的压力是会置人于死地的。
But then thousands of people giving them the pressure will cause this person to commit suicide.
我们现代的法利赛人还有什么样的心态呢？
And what are the mentality of modern Pharisees?
比方说我们在职场中，在工作中有很多的闲言碎语。
So in our career, in our jobs, there are many, many gossips.
我比方说有的时候在工作里面我们为了一个专门的一个事情我们请了一个应该说很专业的人
For example, in our job, if we find an expert in a certain matter,
叫他两次三次因为一些很细节的错误把这个事情一直做不好
And then for two or three times because of this mishap in detail, he couldn't get this thing down.
你会对他采取什么样的态度呢
So what would your attitude be towards such a person?
我们在教会里面有没有属灵的骄傲呢
？And do we have spiritual pride also in our church？
我们在教会里面会不会去责备别人呢
？Are we going to accuse somebody in church？
我们在家庭里面会是什么样的一个态度呢
？And what is our attitude at home？
啊，你对你的家里的另外一半，你的配偶是什么样的态度呢
？How about your attitude toward your spouse？
有的弟兄姐妹今天早晨跟我说
，And some brothers and sisters told me this morning，
我看对方。看不顺眼的时候，我必须要说出来。
I don't like the person, so I have to say something.
如果我不说出来的话，我憋在心里面难受。
I couldn't hold it in. I have to say something.
啊，另外一半说你怎么声音那么大
？And then somebody else said, Why do you have such a loud voice?
弟兄姐妹说，我声音不大，你根本就听不到啊。
And this person would say, Oh, if I don't, you know, shout or cry loud, you wouldn't hear me.
有的时候，你看你的儿女，他们学习好像不上进。
And sometimes you see your children not doing well at school.
你恨铁不成钢。
And you want them to be better.
你对他会是什么样的态度
？And what would your attitude be toward them?
你会是去羞辱他
？Are you going to humiliate your child?
还是用恩典去鼓励他、帮助他
？Or to encourage and help this person with grace?
那我们开始先一起来做一个祷告。
So let's pray together first.
亲爱的阿爸天父，主耶稣基督，圣灵保惠师。
Our Heavenly Abba, Father, the Holy Spirit, and our Lord Jesus Christ.
我们感谢你，你赐给我们一个美好的清晨。
Thank you for this beautiful morning.
你召聚你的众儿女来到你的脚前，一起来聆听你的话语。
You have called your children before you to listen to your word.
主啊，我们愿意你此时此刻就临在我们中间。
May you be within us at this moment.
求你的圣灵来充满我们。
That your Holy Spirit may fill us.
求你帮助我们、变得更加的像你
Help us to be more like you
让我们学习到这样恩典的功课
That we may learn this lesson of grace
我们蒙受你的恩典也让我们变成恩典的器皿
When we receive your grace let us be the instrument of grace
变成恩典的管道
And be a channel of grace
让我们把恩典传递给更多的人
Help us pass on this grace to many people
主啊谢谢你孩子们祷告是奉主耶稣的
Thank you and we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ
Amen.
Amen.
我们每个人都会犯错误，对不对
？We all make mistakes.
我们都渴望第二次的机会。
We all covet a second chance.
但是我们却很难给别人第二次的机会。
But sometimes it's so difficult to give others the second chance.
为什么
？Why?
我们一起来读这个约翰福音第八章一到二节。开始之前，我先接续第七章。
So we're going to read together John chapter 8 verse 1 to 2, but I'm going to go back to chapter 7 first.
在第七章呢，耶稣基督他来到耶路撒冷去过祝棚节。
In chapter 7, Jesus went to Jerusalem to spend the tabernacle.
在最后一天呢，他站起来高声地说。
On the last day of the tabernacle feast, he stood up and cried aloud.
人若渴了，可以到我这里来喝。
Any man who is thirsty can come to me and drink.
而且他应许要从这些信他的人的腹中呢，要流出永生的活水。
And he also promised that those who believe, a river of water will flow out from their belly.
在耶路撒冷的这些犹太的宗教领袖非常的嫉妒耶稣。
All the Jewish leaders, religious leaders, were very jealous of Jesus in Jerusalem.
在第七章呢，他们甚至派兵丁要去抓耶稣，但是也失败了。
In chapter 7, they even sent the soldiers to arrest Jesus, but they failed.
我们一起来读八章的一到二节。
So let's read chapter 8, verses 1 to 2.
耶稣却往橄榄山去，清早又回到殿里，众百姓都到他那里去，他就坐下教训他们。
But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives at dawn.He appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them.
耶稣基督呢，晚上没有在耶路撒冷城住，他是到了郊外。
Jesus did not spend time in Jerusalem overnight, but he went to the suburbs.
很多神学家的分析，当时呢，普通的民众可能就是在郊外找一棵树的树荫底下过一夜。
Many theologians analyzed that situation and said that many people would stay outside the Jerusalem, maybe slept under the tree for the night.
耶稣和他的门徒很可能也是这样的。
And it's probably so for Jesus and his disciples.
到了清早呢，他们又回到圣殿里面，耶稣基督来教导。
So in early morning, they would come back to the temple and Jesus would teach.
这时候发生一个很戏剧性的事情。
And here, something very dramatic happened.
我们今天讲到的分成三个部分。
My sermon will be divided into three parts today.
第一部分是从定罪到释放。
First part is from condemnation to liberation.
第二部分是从羞耻到尊严。
The second is from shame to dignity.
第三部分是从破碎到重建。
And the third part from brokenness to restoration.
在第三节我们一起来读。
So let's read verse 3 now.
文士和法利赛人带着一个行淫时被拿的妇人来，叫他站在当中。
The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group.
这时候呢，这些宗教领袖，他们抓住了一个正在行淫的时候被捉奸捉到的妇人来到耶稣的面前。
At this time, they caught a woman in adultery and brought her forth before Christ.
这个犹太教的社会呢，在性方面是比较保守的。
The Jewish society was more conservative in sexual matters.
这种行淫的罪被捉到呢，是面对非常严重的后果的。
And being caught in the act of adultery will face serious consequences.
是死刑，而且这个刑罚非常的残忍。我们等一会儿来说。
It is punishable by death.
这时候呢，文士和法利赛人带着一个行淫时，是当时就是捉奸那个时间点捉到的这样一个妇人来到耶稣面前。
So the scribes and the Pharisees caught a woman in the act of adultery.
第四节我们一起来读。
So let's read verse 4 together.
对耶稣说，夫子，这妇人是正行淫之时被拿的。
And said to Jesus, teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery.
在第五节我们一起来读。
And let's read verse 5 together.
摩西在律法上吩咐我们把这样的妇人用石头打死，你说该把她怎么样呢？
In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?
他们为什么把这个妇人带到耶稣的面前来？
Why did they bring this woman to Jesus?
如果这个妇人犯了罪，不是应该带到法官，或者说按照犹太的律法带到 犹太的祭司长那里去吗？
Shouldn't they bring this woman to the court or to the Jewish leaders?
他们带到耶稣面前，然后呢，问耶稣应该怎么样处置，这是什么意思呢？
But they brought Jesus in front of the Jewish leaders and asked Jesus what should be done. What do they mean by that?
他们是真的认识耶稣基督是神的儿子，是主，尊重他，让他来裁决吗？
Do they really believe that Jesus is the Lord, he's the Son of God, and let him be the judge?
不是的。
No.
这个很明显呢，是一个陷阱。
It is very obvious that it's a trap.
他们设计呢，是要陷害耶稣的。
They tricked Jesus.
而且呢，他们引用这个旧约的律法，是说这样的妇人是应该用被石头打死的。
And also quoted the Old Testament that such women should be punished by stoning to death.
这个用石头打死是一个什么样的刑罚呢？
And what kind of punishment was that?
是让人，让被这个惩罚的人呢，站在一块空地的中央。
So the person committing the sin should stand in the middle of an open ground.
很多的人参与，
Many people would take part.
每个人呢都可以拿石头呢去扔去砸这个。
Everyone can pick up a stone and throw at this person.
这个呢不光是一个很痛苦的死刑。
This is not only a very painful death.
而且它跟其他的死刑相比呢，它是要求很多的人去参与的。
And compared to other means of punishing someone, this is involving a lot of people.
每个人都是刽子手。
Everyone is a killer.
就有一点像网络暴力中每一个人说一句话最后可以逼死那个人一样。
Just like the bully on the internet that with one word every person can kill somebody.
当我准备讲到的时候呢，我想到这个石刑，这个用石头打死人的刑罚。
So when I was preparing for this sermon, I thought about this kind of death.
我想起来呢，我以前也犯过一个很严重的罪。
I thought about a very serious sin or mistake that I made.Many years ago.
跟我预料的一样。
And as I expected,
大家这个时候呢耳朵都已经竖起来了。
All your eyes pricked it up.
本来要打瞌睡的都听一听，哎，牧师犯过什么样的错误。
So everyone who was dozing off, you know, now you want to see, gee, what did the pastor do?
我在上小学一年级的时候。
When I was first grade in the elementary school.
放学之后呢，我们男孩子经常玩一个游戏叫做胡鸡仗。
And after school, the boys would often play a game called the 胡鸡仗。
就是拿这个土块啊，土疙瘩，这个互相的去扔。
Which means is to pick up a mud pie and throw at each other.
大概会分成两个阵营。
And we have two camps.
有一次玩的时候呢，突然从一个门后出现一个对方的这个小朋友。
And then all of a sudden, a little boy came out from a classroom door, which belongs to the other camp.
我捡起一块鹅卵石。
So I pick up a pebble stone.
然后我就朝他扔过去了。
And then I threw at him.
砸中他的眉骨。
And then I hit him right here, in between the eyes.
当时就流血。
And then he bled.
后来呢，我们一起被送到这个医务室。
So we were sent to the school medical infirmary.
医生呢一边包扎呢，一边就问我为什么会出现这样的事情。
And the doctor put a bandage on him and asked me why did I do that.
我记得我当时说谎了。
And I lied.
我说我扔的是一块土疙瘩，不知道里面有一块石头。
I was throwing a mud pie at him. I didn't know there was a stone inside.
被我打伤的这个小朋友呢，是一个很漂亮、很英俊的男孩子。
And the boy who was hit by me was a very handsome boy.
他提到说，我看见你手里拿的就是石头。
And he said, I saw the pebble stone in your hand.
但他也没有继续的坚持。
But he didn't insist.
后来过了很多年呢，我们又通过这个同学的联谊会，在网上又联系到。
We found each other on the internet again through a class reunion.
我跟他聊起来呢，我很不好意思说。不好意思，我那个时候拿石头打伤了。
So when we chatted, I apologized to him and said I was really sorry.
他发了这个笑脸，说那个伤疤现在还在。
He sent me a picture of a smile and said, "Oh, the scar is still there."
过了很多年，我就再去反思，我当时怎么会做出这样的一个举动。
So after many years, I reflected and said, "Well, how come I did such a thing?"
然后我还反思，我再去回忆。 我当时扔石头的那一刹那，我的心里是什么样的感受？
As I recalled when I was throwing the stone, how I was feeling inside.
让我不寒而栗的是，我发现我当时扔石头那一刹那，我心中有一点点的快感。
And I was shaken because I found out that I had a sense of happiness when I was throwing that stone.
有一点点爽的感觉。
I feel very good.
我完全接受不了这个事情。
And I couldn't accept that.
我从小是被儒家的这个美德温良恭俭让所教育长大。
I was brought up with the Confucian morality.
我后来呢又读圣经，我后来又是教导人的牧师。
And then I was starting to read the Bible. I became a pastor who taught a lot of people.
我没有办法接受我居然有那样去欺负别人、欺压人的冲动。
I couldn't accept that I did have this feeling of wanting to hurt somebody.
我没有办法接受那样一个小孩子他居然有攻击性。
I couldn't accept a child with such attack ability.
甚至是在那样的攻击别人、伤害别人的过程里面，在寻找一种优越感。
If I was attacking, hurting somebody, I was seeking the feeling of being superior.
但是很不幸的是，我们可能每一个人内心深处都有这样的冲动。
But very unfortunately, I think every one of us has this impulse within us.
我们有攻击性。
We have a desire to attack.
我们有想要寻找优越感的那种欲望。
We have this thought that we want to seek superiority.
那么，我们信主之后，这个事情有没有改变呢？
But have we changed after we became a Christian?
当然有改变。
Of course.
我们信主之前，我们去责备别人的时候没有依据。
Before we were believers, when we blame somebody, we don't need a cause.
我们信主之后，我们可以拿着圣经的经文去责备别人。
But after we become Christian, we can use the scripture to accuse someone.
我们信主之前呢，我们想要找那种优越感，可能是力量上的优越感，是一种地位上的优越感。
And before we're Christians, we want to seek this superiority because of status or because of our power.
我们信主之后呢，我们还可以有道德上的优越感。
But after we become Christian, we will have this superior feeling of being a moral person, a high, with high morality.
我们可以有属灵上的优越感。
And we can have the sense of a better spirituality.
好像去挑别人的错、责备别人是一件很属灵的事情一样。
As if to blame someone, to accuse or humiliate someone is something very spiritual.
在圣经里面，这些法利赛人、这些文士、这些犹太人宗教的领袖，他们就是活在这种优越感里。
So we read the scripture and we find that in the Bible, the scribes, the Pharisees, and religious leaders, they have such sense of superiority.
我们再回到我们今天的经文里来。
So let's go back to our verses today.
我们看到这些人设计，他们抓到一个正在行淫中的妇女来到耶稣面前。
We saw these leaders set up this woman to come before Jesus.
这个整个故事里面好像缺少一个很关键的人物。
And there's a key person seems to be missing in the whole story.
这个正在行淫时被抓的妇人，她肯定有一个作案的同伙。
There should be a partner caught at the same time too.
肯定有一个男人也在当场。
And there should be a man.
为什么那个男人没有被抓来？
So where was the man caught in the act?
就这个女人被抓来。
Only this woman was caught.
当她站在耶稣面前，站在众人面前的时候，你猜她的衣冠是非常整齐的吗？
When she stood before everyone, do you think she was dressed nicely still?
肯定不是的。
No.
就不管是古代的时候捉奸，还是现代的时候，我们看到一些警察去突击一些色情的场所。
So when we want to catch somebody committing adultery, either by yourself or the police, they wouldn't be dressed well.
都是不允许当事人去把衣服穿好。
They wouldn't allow the people committing the act to put back their clothes on.
这个女人，她被别人利用，当做工具来陷害耶稣。
This woman was caught and was used to trick Jesus.
她衣冠不整地站在众人面前。
She wasn't dressed properly in front of everyone.
她被羞辱的感觉完全地淹没了。
And she was drowned in humiliation.
而且她还有这个被残忍地用石头打死的刑罚的恐惧。
And she also had the fear of being stoned to death.
为什么这些宗教领袖他们要做这样一个局来陷害耶稣呢？
Why do these leaders set up this trickery for Jesus?
为什么这是一个完美的陷阱呢？
Why is this a perfect trap?
因为如果耶稣基督说饶恕这个妇人，
If Jesus said, Let's forgive this woman.
耶稣基督呢，就违背了摩西旧约中的律法。
He would be violating the Mosaic law.
但是如果耶稣说要定罪，要打死他。
But if Jesus said condemn her and stone her to death.
耶稣呢，就违背了神的慈爱。
And Jesus would be violating God's mercy.
而且呢，更直接的一个影响呢，因为当时巴勒斯坦地区是在罗马帝国的统治之下的。
And the very direct influence would be that the Palestine was under the Roman rule at that time.
根据罗马帝国的法律，如果这个当地的人民有私刑不经过罗马的法律系统处死人的话，这也是很大的麻烦。
According to Roman law, if you execute punish someone privately, you will have trouble.
这个陷阱呢，给耶稣一个两难的选择。
So Jesus was caught in a dilemma.
这个陷阱呢，已经不是这些宗教领袖第一次，不是只使用过这一次。
And this wasn't the first time the religious leaders tried to trap Jesus.
有另外一次，他们拿一个银钱给耶稣说，他们去问耶稣，我们向这个罗马的凯撒皇帝纳税是不是应该的？
And there was another time they brought a silver coin to Jesus, say, shall we pay tax to Caesar?
也是一个两难的境地，耶稣不管怎么样选择两个回答，他们都可以找到把柄。
And Jesus was also caught in a dilemma, whichever way he answered.
那么这个时候呢，耶稣是怎么样反应的呢？
So how did Jesus react this time?
有的弟兄姐妹说，他学到一个功课是要快快的听，慢慢的说。
One person said, I learned that you should listen quickly and answer slowly.
有的时候呢，我们遇到别人的挑战，我们最直接的冲动的那样的反应可能不是最睿智的。
Sometimes when we face a challenge, our immediate response may not be the wisest.
耶稣呢，没有马上的去回应他们。
Jesus did not answer them right away.
耶稣知道呢，这是一个陷阱，这是一个很凶险的时刻。
He knew that this was a trap and it's a perilous time.
我们一起来读第六节。
Let's read verse 6 together.
他们说这话乃试探耶稣，要得着告他的把柄。耶稣却弯着腰，用指头在地上画字。
They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger.
耶稣呢，他蹲下来，这是一个很谦卑的姿态。
To stoop down or to bend down is a very humble posture.
他在地上画字。
And he was writing with his finger.
一边画字呢，可能一边在思考。
And as he was drawing on the ground, he might be thinking as well.
我知道大家现在脑子里面最大的问题是什么。
I know what you're thinking right now, the problem.
耶稣在地上画的是什么字？
Why was he drawing on the ground?
两千年来，很多的神学家来讨论，没有人知道。
So for 2,000 years, many theologians discuss about this, but they didn't have a final answer.
我相信耶稣在地上画的什么字呢？不是很关键。
I don't think that's a key point.
如果是关键的话，圣经的作者一定会很详细的记录下来。
If that was a key point, the Bible writer would have recorded very clearly.
但是耶稣基督呢，在那里画字，一边画字一边思考。
So Jesus was drawing and he was thinking.
然后呢？他就直起腰来对他们说，
and then he stopped and said,
我们一起来读，这个是非常经典的一节经文。
Let's read this very classical verse.
耶稣就直起腰来对他们说，你们中间谁是没有罪的，就可以先拿石头打他。
And when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her.
耶稣对这些宗教领袖还有围观的很多的这个民众说，你们中间谁是没有罪的，就可以先拿石头打他。
To the religious and the crowd around this woman, Jesus said, any one of you without a sin, you can pick up the stone and throw at her.
本来这所有的人都是可能会参与到那个实行的这个执行的过程里
面。 In the first place, everyone there would be the one taking up a stone to throw at this woman.
但是就是耶稣呢，对他们说，谁是没有罪的？
But Jesus said, if any one of you without a sin,
谁就可以先拿石头打他。
You can pick up the stone to throw it.
耶稣呢，用一个非常智慧的回应呢，避开了那个两难的陷阱的选择。
So with this very wise response, he did not have put himself in that dilemma.
耶稣呢，并没有否认旧约的律法。
Jesus did not deny the Mosaic law.
但是他拿一面镜子将这个律法呢应用到在场的每一个人的身上。
But he used a mirror and applied the principle to everyone.
他说你们谁是没有罪的人就可以先扔石头打死他。
Anyone of you without sin can pick up the stone and throw it.
然后第八节呢，耶稣于是又弯着腰用指头在地上画字。
And verse 8, again he stooped down and wrote on the ground.
这时候非常有戏剧性的。
And this is very dramatic.
在场的那些人他们什么样的反应呢？
And what was the response of everyone there?
我们一起来读第八章的九节。
Let's read verse 9.
他们听见这话，就从老到少一个一个的都出去了，只剩下耶稣一人，还有那妇人仍然站在当中。
At this, those who heard it began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there.
他们有没有人拿石头打这个女人呢？
Was there anyone who picked up a stone and threw at her?
没有，为什么？
No, why?
有没有人是没有罪的呢？
Is there anyone without sin?
所有人都是有罪的。
No, everyone has sin.
而且呢，他们就都走出去了。
Besides, they left.
他们被耶稣的这个话挑战之后呢，他们照了镜子，他们看到自己的这个生命的状况。他们有点羞愧，他们一个一个的走出去。
With Jesus' question using as a mirror, they saw their own sin, and then they walked away one by one.
而且呢，圣经在这里非常具体的跟我们说，这个顺序是什么样的呢？是从老到少，一个一个都出去。
The Bible here very concretely describes the order from the older to the young.
为什么从老到少一个一个出去呢
？Why from the older ones to the younger ones?
有人说，是不是这个老的人、年长的人犯的罪更多？
Some people ask, you know, would the older people have committed more sins?
也有人说，可能越年长的人对于自己生命的这个本相有更深的、更清楚的认识。
Or somebody said that the older people would be more aware of their own, you know, true self.
于是呢，耶稣基督用这句话呢，化解了这样一个陷阱、这样一个凶险的时刻。
So Jesus, with this word, dissolved this trap and this dilemma.
而且也救下了这个妇人。
And also saved this woman.
其实本来耶稣基督并不是法官，也不是祭司长。
Originally, Jesus wasn't the judge; he wasn't the high priest.
那些人带这个妇人到耶稣面前，让他来判断的时候呢，他本来可以说这不关我的事。
And when they brought this woman before him, he could say, "I don't make any judgment because this is not my business."
但是耶稣基督呢，不光是要保护他自己的安全
，but not only Jesus protect himself，
他要保护这个妇人的安全。
He also wanted to protect this woman.
在这个马太福音第七章的五节，这里怎么说呢
？In Matthew chapter 7 verse 5，
也是耶稣自己的话，他说：“你这假冒伪善的人，先去掉你自己眼中的梁木，然后才能看得清楚，去掉你弟兄眼中的刺。”
Jesus said, "You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye."
很多时候我们。会论断别人，去责备别人，批评别人，挑别人的错。
Many times we would, you know, accuse someone, blame someone, humiliate someone to pick out their faults.
我们觉得在这个过程中呢，我们有充分的理由去寻求那种优越感。
In this process, we feel we have sufficient reason to find our own superior feeling.
我们有正义的理由去释放我们的攻击性。
And we have a righteous reason to release our attack mode.
在这个过程中，其实你的心里可能是有一点爽的感觉的。
And then you will feel good about yourself.
但是耶稣说呢，你不要说你眼睛里面，你说你别的人，而且这里往耶稣特别说是你弟兄的眼睛里面有刺，你要去挑出来。
And just say, no, do you not pick the speck out of your brother's eye?
这时候耶稣用一个非常夸张的一个修辞手法。
And Jesus exaggerated here.
说你先看看你的眼睛里面有一根。梁木，或者是原文说是一根原木，就是一整棵树的那样的木头，在你的眼睛里。
It just, you know, there is a plant, which means a big trunk.
在你挑别人的错的时候，你先看看你自己有没有错。
So when you pick on someone, look at yourself first.
有这个别的牧师呢，做一个比喻，说你在拿一个手指去指别人的时候，可能有三个手指在指向你自己。
Yeah, some pastors would even say when you point your one finger, someone actually three fingers are toward yourself.
所以耶稣在挑战这些人说，你们谁是没有罪的，可以先拿石头来打他。
So Jesus challenged everyone there, say, any one of you without sin, you can pick up the stone.
我们来到我们今天的第二个部分，就是从羞耻到尊严。
So we come to our second point, from shame to dignity.
这个妇人衣冠不整，可能头发凌乱，可能在这个过程中被别人这个殴打过。
This woman in ragged clothes and messy hair, and then she was probably beaten in the process.
那么她站在众人的中间，她完全是被羞耻感淹没的。
She stood in the middle of everyone, and she was covered in humiliation.
这时候呢，第十节我们一起来读。
And let's read verse 10 now.
耶稣就直起腰来对她说，妇人，那些人在哪里呢？没有人定你的罪吗？
Jesus straightened up and asked her, Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?
耶稣这个时候呢，站起来，然后是平视的这个角度，眼睛看着对方的眼睛问他。
Jesus stood up and he looked squarely into other people's eyes and asked,
然后很温柔地说，妇人，那些人在哪里呢？没有人定你的罪吗？
Gently, Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?
这个妇人怎么回答呢？
And how did she answer?
第十一节我们一起来读。
Verse 11, let's read together.
她说，主啊，没有。耶稣说，我也不定你的罪，去吧，从此不要再犯罪了。
No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin.
耶稣呢，本来不是法官，也不是祭司长。
Jesus wasn't the judge nor the high priest.
本来呢，不应该是由他来做定罪的判断的。
He shouldn't be the one making the judgment on condemnation.
但是耶稣呢，这时候对这个妇人说，我也不定你的罪。
But at this time, Jesus said, I don't condemn you either.
耶稣为什么可以赦免这个妇人的罪呢？
Why could Jesus forgive this woman's sin?
耶稣有没有权柄说，我不定你的罪呢？
Does she have the authority to say, I don't condemn you?
耶稣有完全的权柄来说这样的话。
Jesus had all the authority to say such things.
因为耶稣基督他不光是神的儿子降世为人，
Not only he was the son of God to come to this world，
而且他在不久之后，他会为了我们全人类的罪，包括这个妇人的罪，上十字架替他付上罪的刑罚。
In a short while he would go on the cross and die for all the people including this woman。
耶稣基督在十字架上他承担了所有的审判。
On the cross Jesus bore all our judgment。
甚至在那个时候，他的生命呢，因为背负全人类的罪，是那样的污秽，连天父都跟他隔绝了。
Even on the cross, because he was carrying everyone's sin, he was very condemned, and God wouldn't even look at him.
连耶稣自己，他在十字架上，他都说，父啊，父啊，为什么离弃我？
And Jesus on the cross even asked, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?
耶稣基督在这里说，我也不定你的罪，不是轻描淡写的，很轻松的这样一笔带过说出来的。
So when Jesus told her, I don't condemn you either, it's not something very light.
因为耶稣他背负了真实的这个罪的代价，他有权利说这个话。
Because he bore the real punishment of sin, he could say such things.
在罗马书呢，第八章一节。
In Romans chapter 8, verse 1.
这里说，如今那些在基督耶稣里的就不定罪了。
It says, therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
为什么在耶稣基督里的就不定罪了呢？
Why there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus?
因为耶稣基督已经为这所有的在他里面的人都已经他自己被定罪了。
Because for all the people who are in him, he was condemned for them.
而且他付上了这样的罪的代价。
And he paid this price.
他把我们从最终的救赎了出来。
And deliver us from the sin.
我们来到今天讲到的第三个部分。
Now let's come to the third part of today's sermon.
就是从破碎到重建。
From brokenness to restoration.
这个女人她知不知道她犯了罪？
Did this woman know that she committed sin?
她有没有负罪感？
Did she feel guilty?
她有没有羞耻的感觉？
Did she feel shame?
她肯定是有的。
Of course.
那么心理学家的分析，这种负罪感，这种 羞耻的感觉，其实对我们的身心健康是非常有害的。
The psychologists also believe that this feeling of shame and humiliation actually is harmful to our body.
耶稣基督呢，不光是要赦免他的罪，
Jesus not only wanted to forgive her sin,
而且要让这样一个破碎的心灵能够重建。
He also wanted a broken spirit to be restored.
第十一节，耶稣他说，我也不定你的罪，去吧。从此不要再犯罪了。
And in verse 11, Jesus said, No one, I do not condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin.
我们说耶稣基督给他恩典而不是定罪不是羞辱。
So here we see that Jesus gave her grace, not condemnation or humiliation.
恩典的意思呢就是白白给的东西。
Grace means something you receive freely.
是礼物。
It's a gift.
这个礼物呢甚至不是说我们过节的时候交换礼物你给我一个礼物我给你一个礼物。
It's not about during Christmas time that we exchange gifts.
这个恩典呢就是我完全没有任何东西可以给对方但是对方给了我一个很宝贵的东西。
What grace means is I have nothing to give, but then they gave me something.
那么这个恩典是一个廉价的许可证吗
?Is this a license, something that's very cheap?
是我们有了这样的恩典我们就可以继续的生活在那种不道的生活方式里面。
And because of this grace, can we continue to live in a life of sin?
不是的耶稣说、
no.
我也不定你的罪你走吧。但是从此以后不要再犯罪。
And Jesus said, I don't condemn you either, but go now and sin no more.
这个恩典呢是改变生命的力量。
So this grace is a power that brings change in our life.
是可以让一个破碎的生命能够重建起来的。
That a broken life can be rebuilt.
耶稣说从此不要再犯罪。
Jesus said, do not sin no more.
那我问每一个人。
So I want to ask every one of you.
我问你手中的石头是什么样的。
What is the stone in your hand?
你要拿什么样的石头去打别人?
What kind of stone you're going to pick up and hit someone?
可能是一个教会中曾经跌倒过的弟兄姐妹。
Maybe someone who fell among us.
会不会是一个在服事中有争议的同工?
Or someone who is controversial among the staff.
或者是在我们教会里面持不同的政治立场的别的信徒。
Or someone who holds a different political stand in our church.
可能有的人喜欢 Trump, 有的人讨厌 Trump, 你们是不是可以互相拿石头攻击
?Someone who prefers Trump and someone who hates Trump, are you going to attack each other?
很多时候我们在这个教会之外我们去攻击别人去责备别人。
And sometimes outside the church, we also attack or blame or rebuke some other people.
当我们来到教会我们成为信徒之后甚至很多时候是变本加厉的来责备别人。
But sometimes when we come to church, become believers, you know, we even blame or accuse people more.
就好像是新约圣经里面那些法利赛人一样。
Just like the Pharisees in the New Testament.
我想说，我们每一个人都曾经是那个妇人。
I want to say that every one of us was like that woman before.
我们每个人都犯过错误。
We all made mistakes.
我们每个人可能都被抓住、被羞辱、被定罪过。
We have probably been caught and been humiliated and been condemned.
但是耶稣的恩典呢，改变了我们的命运。
But Jesus' grace changed our destiny.
耶稣基督都不定这个在他里面的人的罪，我们何德何能？我们凭什么去定别人的罪
？So when Jesus did not condemn us, what authority do we have to condemn other people?
我们。这些所有蒙受耶稣基督恩典的人，我们被耶稣呼召要成为恩典的管道。
All of us who have received grace from God, we need to become the channel of God's grace.
我们要去传递恩典到别人的生命里面。
We want to pass on this grace to other people's lives.
而不是羞耻。
Not humiliation.
不是定罪。
Not condemnation.
不是责备，不是挑错。
Not blame, not picking their faults.
那么我想呼召大家。从今天开始
So I want to make a call for everyone that starting today.
这个星期呢你选择一个人
And this week, choose one person.
是你曾经论断过的
Someone you have judged before.
有没有这样一个人你曾经论断过他
Is there someone like that in your life?
你向他们呢来表达恩典
You show grace towards such person.
你表达恩典呢应该是实际的帮助而不是道德的教训
When you show your grace, it's not give them more moral lessons, but actual help.
你不是为了去彰显你的优越感，不管是道德上的还是属灵上的。
Not to show off your superiority, whether it's morally or spiritually.
而是像耶稣一样平等的去跟那个妇人对话。
But on equal foot on equal ground, you dialogue with such person.
去在主里挽回他，去鼓励他。
To restore and to encourage such person in the Lord.
那么最后呢，我请大家一起来背这节经文。
And finally, let's memorize this verse together.
就是第八章十一节。
Chapter 8, verse 11.
我们一起来读三遍，三遍之后，三遍之后有考试。
And then there will be a test.
我们一起来读。
Let's read together.
我也不定你的罪，去吧，
从
此不要再犯罪了。我也不定你的罪，去吧，从此不要再犯罪了。我也不定你的罪，去吧，从此不要再犯罪了。
Then neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin.
准备好了吗？请向旁边的人背诵出来。
Recite to the person next to you.